Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are answering the question, what did Jesus say about hell?
Okay, Bill. Back in May 2020, there was a Time magazine article titled, What Jesus Really Said About Heaven and Hell. And it first cites Matthew 7:13-14, where the verse says, Wide is the road and broad is the way that leads to destruction. The writer of the article says that the word destruction means annihilate. He says the wrong path does not lead to torture. You know, there's the broad path and the narrow path.
Right.
And then, but let's look at the definition of the word destruction. I mean, Bill, you have some references here.
Right. First of all, in the Strong's Concordance, number 684, the word destruction is the word apaleia, and the Greek word apaleia, and it means ruin, waste, damnable, or die. No mention of the word annihilate. Now, the Vine's Dictionary, page 164 and 165, says, the idea is not extinction, but ruin, loss, not of being, but of well-being. Loss of well-being of the unsaved. Then Thayer's Greek Lexicon says, to be delivered up to eternal ruination. So the New Testament was written in Greek. The word in the Greek for annihilate is the word ekmedenizo. The word for destruction is the word apaleia, which doesn't mean annihilate. It means ruin or waste or die. So why didn't the writers of the New Testament use the correct word for annihilate if that was their intention? According to several Greek scholars, one in particular, Dr. Joseph R. Nally, Jr., he has a Master of Divinity, he says that the word annihilate, being ekmedenizo, is not found in the Bible, but the word destruction means ruin, waste, or die.
So that's the word in the Bible.
Right. So I don't know how they confuse that or not see that with these, authoritative reference books. It's very clear.
That makes sense. And these next verses use the same Greek word, apoleia, for destruction. And 2 Peter 2:1 says, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You can see that destruction does not mean annihilation, but ruin. The people still exist, but are dead or ruined.
Right.
They bring upon themselves swift destruction. 2 Peter 3:16 says, untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So we can see from the meaning in that verse that it's to their own ruin, not right. Extinction.
Right. Interesting how that verse says, untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. The very word, how ironic, the word they're trying to twist.
Is the word destruction.
Is destruction. Anyway, this next verse uses the same word, apaleia, but uses one of its meanings, which is the word waste. Matthew 26:8. To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. The alabaster box that the woman poured on the head of Jesus to anoint him for his burial. So they're saying, the apostle said it was wasted. Of course, it was not wasted, but it's the word waste. So you can see that the ointment was supposedly wasted, but not that it no longer existed. It still was in existence.
Good point.
It was wasted.
Yeah, good point. So, you know, this Time article goes on and then mentions Matthew 13:47-50. Quote, and it says, after sorting through the fish, he keeps the good ones and throws the others out. He doesn't torture them. They just die. But let's read the next verse in Matthew 13:47-50. It says, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
That's right. So first of all, it states that they will be cast into the fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. A person has to still exist to have wailing and gnashing of teeth. In addition, the writer of the article says, quote, he doesn't torture them, they just die, close quote. However, the verse doesn't say that. He assumed it. The analogy doesn't need to embrace all of what hell consists of. It is a symbolic view of what the fishermen understood was done with bad fish. They were of no use to be thrown into the fire. To try and say that people no longer exist in these verses is to add to the scripture. Also, we need to compare the verses with the accumulation of other verses about hell to get the full understanding. Jesus mentions everlasting destruction, everlasting punishment, everlasting fire, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, to be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that doesn't sound like a person simply dies.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Good point.
Very
you know,
clear.
It's just like people do not want to have accountability to their creator.
That's right.
Right? And so it's like all these false teachings to twist and do away with hell and
right.
eternal punishment.
Right. It softens the, you know, the punishment totally. I mean, if you just annihilate it, well, then what are the consequences for living an evil, sinful life?
Yeah, there's no justice either.
No justice.
You know, likewise, the article quotes Matthew 13, 40 through 42. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into a furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth again. And then the article states the tares are simply consumed in the fire, and then they're no more. Well, again, how could they wail and gnash their teeth if they didn't exist?
Right.
Also, he is adding the word consumed, which implies there is an end to the burning. The verse simply says the word burned, not consumed. A person can burn their hand, but the hand still exists. It doesn't infer non-existence.
That's right. Right. Many other verses in the Bible clarify that it doesn't mean consumed, such as Isaiah 33, 12 through 14, which mentions everlasting burnings. The burning continues forever. Or Revelation 14, 10 and 11, tormented with fire and brimstone. The fire torments those in hell. Torment implies existence. Or Revelation 19, 20, where the beast and the false prophet are cast alive into a lake burning with fire and brimstone. Then in Revelation 20, 10, 1,000 years later, they are still there burning. I mean, that's crystal clear, and they were two people. So Matthew 25, 41 states that man and the devil will be cast into everlasting fire. And then Revelation 20, 10 says that the devil will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Day and night, forever and ever, defined everlasting. And the man is in the same place as the devil. To show that man is not annihilated again, Revelation 14, 10, and 11 state that people are tormented in the presence of Jesus and the angels, and they have no rest day nor night. So notice they are tormented in God's presence, which means they still exist. Also, a person still has to exist to have no rest day nor night.
Good
point.
That's
crystal clear.
No, exactly. And I know, Bill, you also cite many verses in your video teaching on our website called Is Hell Eternal?
That's
right. You go into more depth on
right.
all this.
Now, the article continues to comment on Matthew 25, 31 through 46, where Jesus speaks of all nations coming for the last judgment, the sheep and the goats. The writer states, quote, "But when Jesus summarizes his point, he explains that the contrasting fates are eternal life and eternal punishment. They are not eternal pleasure and eternal pain. The opposite of life is death, not torture. So the punishment is annihilationism." Close quote. Then he goes on, though, to explain, quote, "The flames, not the torments, go on forever. And why is the punishment called eternal? Because it will never end. These people will be annihilated forever." Close quote. And that's what he says. Well, why would anyone need to say that a person is annihilated forever? That's like saying you will be dead forever. Why use the word forever? When you are dead, you are dead. Forever is already implied. The writer says the opposite of eternal life is eternal death. But the verse doesn't say eternal death. It says eternal punishment. To punish someone presupposes their existence. You cannot punish a dead person, especially to punish them eternally.
I know. And the writer says it is not eternal pain, but eternal annihilation. I mean, the verse uses the word punishment. Punishment does not infer pain, does infer pain, you know, not extinction.
Right.
And the American Heritage Dictionary gives the definition of punishment as, quote, a penalty imposed for wrongdoing, rough handling, mistreatment.
Right. So that implies existence again.
Yeah. To have a penalty imposed on you or punishment, you have to exist.
Exactly. Now, the writer says the flames, not the torment, go on forever. However, Revelation 14, 10, 11 again refutes that point, as it says, and they have no rest day nor night. The person in hell must still exist to have no rest day nor night. Now, go on. It goes on with another point.
Yes, in Matthew 25, 41, it says that the fire was prepared. So God prepared a fire that would not consume those in it, just as the burning bush was not consumed. And Jesus said in Mark 9, 48 and 49, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, for everyone shall be salted with fire. He said those in hell would be salted with fire. And salt, as we know, is a preservative. The body in hell is preserved.
That's right. And Matthew Henry's commentary comments that on that. On page 1799, he states, quote, in hell they shall be salted with fire, as salt upon the meat shall eat their flesh. By the power of God, it shall be made to last always. For those that are cast into hell will find the fire to have not only the corroding quality of salt, but its preserving quality. It is used to signify that which is lasting. A covenant of salt is a perpetual covenant, and Lot's wife, being turned into a pillar of salt, made her a remaining monument of divine vengeance. That's in Genesis 19, 26, close quote by Matthew Henry. Now, the Vines, page 315, says, the doom of being salted with fire. So God's prepared a body, and he signified that by its being salted, it's being preserved in hell. So he can easily keep that body burning, just like the burning bush. Now, let's go on. Here's some additional verses spoken by Jesus. Matthew 18, 6 says, but whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Well, this indicates something worse than death or annihilation, right?
Boy, you know, this just hit me. But, you know, also that verse that talks about teachers will have a greater judgment,
right?
Those who teach. It makes me think of this when I think of the little ones in schools and what is being taught by some of those kind of, you know, just
that's
regular
right.
teachers in our educational system.
Oh, yes.
And what they're doing to some of these little ones.
Right. Twisting things and
things. And all kinds of
things
perversion.
That are perversion.
And it's just interesting. Anyways, that just hit me
right.
when you read that. It made me think of regular teachers in our educational system. Wow.
So he's saying they're going to have a severe punishment in hell. Something worse than death.
Yeah.
So that indicates they're still alive to be something
that's
worse
true.
Than death. Luke 12, 4. And 5, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Well, Jesus just said there is something worse than death. Annihilation would simply be death. Jesus said there's something worse than death. Matthew 10:15, it says, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Well, that infers a less tolerable annihilation. How could that be?
That doesn't make sense.
No. So it's a degree of punishment. Matthew 22:13 says, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How can someone be cast into outer darkness if they're just annihilated? They have to exist to be cast out into darkness.
Yes, and this is Jesus again. These are
right.
what Jesus said about hell. In Matthew 23:14, it says, you shall receive the greater damnation. So it can't be a greater annihilation.
Right.
And Matthew 23:15, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. So twice as much annihilation?
Right. No, it's just talking about degrees of punishment in hell. Matthew 24:51 says, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why appoint them their portion if all are annihilated? Luke 12:46-48 says, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. They shall be beaten with many stripes or beaten with few. Why beat many? Why beat with many or few if all are annihilated? No, again, that's describing degrees of punishment in hell.
That's a good point.
Then in Luke 16:23, Jesus talking about the rich man in hell, says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment in the flame. He said, I am tormented in this flame. Well, he still existed, and he knew his five brothers would come there unless they were told to repent. So he still existed. He was concerned about his family coming there. So to say that you don't exist, they have to ignore all these verses. I don't know how they can twist all these. Oh, and there's many more. True. This is just a tip of the iceberg.
Yes. Oh, Father God, help us. Help us as believers that we would get a real grasp and revelation of how horrible hell really is.
That's right.
That we would really have your heart and be willing each day to be a light and salt and light in a dark world, Father. Help us to be that witness, that child of God you've called us each to be, Lord, in our sphere of influence, in Jesus' name.
Yes. You know, if people could see and understand how severe hell is, you know, that would cause them, like I say, to be much more appreciative of their own salvation, to walk more in the fear of the Lord, and have a passion for the lost, to really pray fervently for your family members that aren't saved, because they're going to go to this horrible place, tormented forever and ever. They'll never get out. So, it will give you an urgency inside to want to pray for those that don't know Jesus.
Plus the days we're living in. I mean, the tribulation, yes, is knocking at our door. We can see it.
Right.
If anyone who studies the book of Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it is upon us. Now, we don't have a lot of time.
That's right. Jesus talked about these times in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and so forth, and these times he talked about are now. They're happening now.
They're happening now. And if we don't have an understanding of that, and that Jesus is coming very, very soon, then we're going to be more lazy and not see the urgency and the need to witness and evangelize.
Right. And what's the big concern if you just simply are annihilated? If you understand, hey, there's a hell.
Exactly.
And you're going to suffer forever. You better get your act right and repent and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He is the only one. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He's the only hope people have to be saved.
Yes. And this, in Revelation 20:11-15, this is what all of the unsaved, everyone who does not receive Jesus Christ, are going to be facing. And it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Boy, how serious. I mean, that's judgment day. All the people that don't know him will stand before his throne, and he'll open the books, and they'll think, oh, I was a good person. He'll show them what their life was like, every thought, every motive, everything they did, and none of us are good. And they'll stand guilty before God, and they'll be drug off into hell and cast into the lake of fire. I mean, it's serious. You know, so the people still existed in Hades. Those Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they stood before God. They were judged according to their works. Why be judged, and why would there be an account of their works if all are annihilated? Jesus said in Matthew 23:33, how can you escape the damnation of hell? To not escape infers existence.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.